emergency?
Ready to clap?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. Hello.
Hi. You know what? I'm in such a great mood today.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good.
I woke up. I was ready to go. And then I took a shower, got ready, you know, for today, for the recording. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, I'm excited for this recording.
Me too. It's definitely like, look, I feel like I'm like,
talking
to you and I'm like over here.
Let me break my neck.
Yeah. No. So this one is going to be good. I know last episode was supposed to be like our first YouTube video and all that stuff.
It's okay. Trial and error.
Whoa. Technical difficulty.
Yeah. Trial and error. It happens.
But that's why we fuck with y'all, because you guys know we're still like new to the game and you're growing with us.
I know. We're super new. We're figuring shit out. And I think for the most part, we have it figured out. I mean, if you can see us now, look at us.
We're a little
if
bit
you see
poppin'.
Us, yeah. If you see us, we did it right.
Finally, for
real. Wow. So this is Cocktail Murder.
Yes. I'm Taj.
I'm Honey. And for those of you who can see us, as you see, we drink and talk about murder.
Yes.
And this cocktail, what is this cocktail called, Taj?
I don't even know. It doesn't even have a name. You know what's crazy? What I did is I looked in the fridge and saw what we had. And
we have a bar, guys. We literally have a full bar.
Yeah, basically. I typed it into my to Google and like it came up with this. It wasn't really a name. It's just tequila lime grenadine. That's all it came up with, which
and
is the exact
we're so
going to
try it. Exactly. Exactly. First of all, while you – this is Belligerent, the part of the podcast, Belligerent.
Oh, yeah.
And while we get drunk, I'm going to make our drinks. Why don't you talk about your Oculus you got as a gift?
Dude.
Okay. And yeah, talk about how submersive the fucking metaverse is, because it's crazy.
First of all, the way I got it was like so freaking cute, right? Okay, so my little friend or whatever, I bought him an Oculus for Christmas. He's like into gaming or whatever. So whatever. Okay, I bought it. And while he was setting it up, I'm like, oh my God, I want to see what it looks like inside. I've never done any like VR or anything like that. So I put this motherfucker on. This shit is so immersive. I am in a whole nother world. I completely forgot that I was sitting in my living room. It's the craziest thing.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy. So anyways, I was so excited about it. My friend decided to buy me one because I was so excited about his. And y'all, I have been on this thing like every night while I'm sitting in my bed. I haven't even downloaded any games yet. I swear, I'm just in like these little chat rooms. There's this app, it's called Big Screen, and you can go in these different like rooms which look like living rooms or movie theaters or all kind of shit, and you could talk to other people. It's like a chat room, but your avatar is talking to other people. It's the craziest thing.
Talk about your
oh my God, yeah, people are still gross. I mean, the world is the world, I guess. The first time I got harassed excuse me, I'm still a little sick, you guys. Not COVID. The first time I was harassed, yeah, someone was just following me and he kept like waving at me. It was the weirdest thing. Everywhere I went, he followed me and he'd be like, hello, hello.
Like,
that's a bad accent. I'm sorry, guys.
What race was he?
He was definitely from the region of India.
Got it.
And yeah, it was so crazy. So anyways, he was like following me everywhere. I had to get out of that room to escape him. And then the next time,
the next room I was in
was in a, what's it called? A movie theater. And this dude starts following me, right, around the movie theater. And of course, like, people wave hello. So I wave back. I'm like, hi.
Hello.
And then this person is like, I wish I remembered his username so I could call him out. But he's like, do you want a hug?
Ew.
And I'm like, no.
Get out of my room.
And so I switch seats and he follows me to the next seat. And so in Big Screen, you can like pick like a marker or something and start drawing. And so he like basically taps me on the shoulder, looks at me, and he like I swear he's looking at me dead in my eyes. And he like points down. And so I look down like a dummy, like a fucking dumbass. So I look down and this dude drew a penis.
Oh my God.
On his avatar. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And he starts like jacking it off next to me.
No!
I swear to God, this happened. True story. And so, but this movie theater was playing Scream, the movie, and I was trying to watch the movie, but he kept following me. No. So I had to exit that chat room as well.
This is crazy.
There are still people that are disgusting and gross, but the good thing is like you can easily leave, or there's options to block them. So if I really wanted to like stay in there, I could block him and he wouldn't even see me anymore or whatever. So I guess that was fine, but it's just like gross. But besides that, I mean, this thing is amazing. If you haven't gotten it, you have to get an Oculus. It's awesome.
No, seriously, like I would see Taja on it for a couple hours, you know. I would say like
I'd be in my bed during with it on like this, like
just walking around getting harassed. And like I would I remember it was like during the holiday break, we were kind of you know, getting our bearings. I think it was like our last day before getting back to the swing of things. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, you were on it, like we're both, you know, on our laptops trying to basically get our mind right for the week coming up you know, getting started. Then you put on the Oculus and then that was it.
That was it.
And then you're like, oh, but look at this. But then even then I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll take a look at it. And I put on the goggles and I'm like, oh, wow. I want to stay here forever.
Right.
Yeah. No.
And that's the dangerous part, I think. It's because with the whole like metaverse thing coming up and let me adjust myself. Sorry, guys. This is a new positioning we're trying. So trying to get comfortable. With like the new metaverse and all this like virtual shit where basically there's going to be a whole nother like life and shit. Like this is what is going to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You can easily forget that you're not in the real world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to forget. And like I'm telling you, like when I say I'm on this thing for a long time, I'm on it until my headset dies. And you know what I learned? I learned that you can get like this piece to make your battery last longer or something like that.
Yeah.
So if people can like hook themselves up and like stay in it forever, they absolutely will.
Damn.
It's dangerous.
This is completely unrelated, but your makeup looks really good right now.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like just, I was listening to what you were saying, but not really because I was staring at your makeup.
You know, like when guys, when you're talking to them and they're just staring at your boobs.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm doing. To me. Doing that right now. I'm just looking in your eyes and at your eyebrows.
Gazing. I thought you were interested in my story and you weren't.
No,
you were
I'm only interested in your face. You mean nothing else to me.
Just here for the aesthetic.
Basically.
Hi guys. Wait, okay, once again, this is Cocktail Murder.
Can we try this really quick?
Oh yeah, let's do that. So yeah, let's do the cocktail part of our podcast.
It's behind. So we mixed I think I put a shot of tequila in both. It might be more, might be less, we don't know. Who measures? And then
Seriously. We
mixed it with a half a shot of lime juice and grenadine. So
I love how you put the mixer part on top and then
oh my god. That's you guys,
no big deal.
I had no idea. That's so funny. How embarrassing. Well, my first time.
I can smell it, how much tequila is in here. Did
really?
Pour a lot?
I think so. I said might be more, might be less. Let me put this down really quick. I can't believe I put the mixer part in the drink. I'm an idiot. Okay.
That's okay.
I'm not an idiot. I'm the smartest person alive.
You are.
I have to switch my thinking. That's what I've been working on.
True.
Okay, let's try it.
Whoa.
Woo! Cocktail murder, everybody! Woo! That's what we're about. Don't take our amateur drinks and think we're responsible if you get in trouble. Oh my god, that is strong.
That is strong. It's good though.
It's pretty good.
I love strong.
I like it. It has a tanginess.
When you're at home, you're like, oh, I don't want my drinks to be so strong because you're like making it yourself. But when you're out at a bar, you're like, make it as strong as you can.
I need to get arrested tonight.
That's Hillcrest. If you ever come to San Diego, go to Hillcrest. Ooh, the drinks.
Amazing.
Always on point.
Amazing.
They make sure you get drunk.
Even our favorite spot, well, my favorite spot that you introduced me to, and I think it's your favorite spot, Polite Provisions in North Park. Spot. Oh my God. It's just a bar, but the aesthetic is super like cute, kind of like vintage.
Yeah, it's so vintage.
It's I love it. It's like pretentious hipster shit, but it I
really
love
is.
It.
It really is.
The drinks are so good too. They're yeah. good. They're strong. It gets you super fucked up.
And the all place, of their like all of their liquor, it's like it's mostly whiskey and brandy and right. stuff, but it's like their
yeah.
brand. You can't get like fucking Jack Daniels from there.
No.
Like, it's all like
it's their shit.
Artesian, yeah. like homemade, like oh, I don't want to say it's homemade, but it's like yeah. it's just really good.
Yeah.
Liquor.
They brew it themselves or whatever. And like yeah, and it's always packed, but it's not an but it's not annoying. It's that's yeah. like the one place I don't mind being in a packed area. Yeah. I don't know what
the,
it is.
It's the atmosphere. It just makes you like want to be calm and like literally when you say like sip your tea, like you just want to sip your
you sip your drink
with your pinky up, but it's not like super high end and no, super expensive,
but it's not low like, end either. It's like
so cute.
It's the perfect place for middle-aged adults.
Do you hear that, Polite Provisions? We love you guys, so fucking sponsor us.
I mean, hello.
How about that?
Hello, or give us your glasses, because I love their glasses. they have a glass for everything. But yeah, no, seriously, I feel like it's the perfect place for young adults. And I feel like mm-hmm. right now at the place that I am in my life, I feel like I should be going out a lot, but I'm just not the type of person to be in a room full of like egotistical people.
Yeah.
And so like going to the club is not my scene. I could go bar hopping, but even some bars, it's just kind of like the vibe just really isn't
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah.
you know, they might have good music, but you know, just people bring their ego a lot and I hate that, but I love Polite Provisions. Actually, I really just like North Park in general because yeah. I feel like that's the place, of course, with the exception of Hillcrest, but with North Park, not a lot of people, like no one's guard is up. In North Park,
that's true.
What I'm
you don't
saying.
Have to be like super fucking cute in heels and shit.
Yeah,
like, you can go super casual.
You can go casual. You can be cute if you want to, or you yeah. could dress down. No one gives a shit because yeah. it's like you come as you are. You
exactly.
know, and it's I love it. It's
I feel
so
like
freeing.
A lot of our listeners are like, what the fuck is North Park or Polite
oh,
Provisions
oh, yeah.
or Hillcrest?
North Park is a city, and Polite Provisions is a bar in North Park.
Yes.
I mean, not a
in
city.
San
it's
Diego.
A town.
In San Diego.
Yeah, it's an area in San Diego. Yeah. But yeah, I just like mm-hmm. that's my type of shit. Like,
absolutely.
Just come as you are. No one judges. It just is what it is. It's not a what do you have on contest. It's,
right. Yeah,
you know, who
exactly.
are you? Who are you rolling with? How many pretty friends do I have? You know, like.
Go and you have a good time.
Yeah, you just That's go and have a good time for either a date night or just with your friends. It's amazeballs.
It is
literally amazeballs.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure that we touched on this today.
Yes.
So yesterday we got news about Ahmaud Arbery.
We sure did.
Can we toast to?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a life was lost. Unfortunately,
but
the fact
finally,
that life did get justice.
Yes.
Is awesome.
Finally, there was justice in
that.
The community.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like hard to drink with the ice. It keeps touching my.
I know. Someone commented because I know we posted about it yesterday mm-hmm. on our page. Someone commented, "Oh, the guy in the middle talking about one of the white guys that got convicted." She was like, "That guy looks like my uncle," and I wanted to so bad be like, "Maybe it is your uncle."
Is it?
I know, but I was like, "Yeah, whatever. I'll just say it live."
Well, if you guys don't know who Ahmaud Arbery, I'm sorry, I don't completely know how to pronounce the last name, but he it was from Georgia. He was jogging down the street.
Yeah.
And two men in a pickup truck decided that they wanted to murder a black man that day. So they
in
stopped
broad daylight.
Him in broad daylight. Yeah. And this was in February of 2020. They basically stopped him. They pulled the shotgun out of their car. And then a passerby who was the friend of the father and son who initially stopped him, they basically trapped him in between their pickup truck. They chased him down, trapped him, and then killed him. And this was filmed. I believe Brian was the one who was not the father or the son. He was the friend. he was filming it, or someone was filming it. And this was one of those cases that literally, like, the person that, like, the prosecutor was supposed to go to, he decided to not have anything to do with the case because he knew the father and son. And so this whole thing was going through the system for a long time until basically someone forgot about it. Like, people forgot about that this man that was killed. Mm-hmm. And then the video was released and went viral, and everybody saw what the fuck happened, mm-hmm. which was a black man being killed for no reason in broad daylight.
And he got chased.
Yeah, he was chased down.
Like,
yeah.
Just, and I know, and I'm sure everyone had seen that video. I remember watching that video, again, adding to the list of traumatized videos on the internet. But yeah, the fact that he was chased in broad daylight, wasn't causing any harm, wasn't snooping around. He was literally just jogging. He went for a jog. He had on a jogging suit. And yeah, they chased him in a truck.
Yeah, it was a pickup truck. Yeah, it's so sad. Such a sad story.
I just can't imagine what was going through his head, thinking, okay, if I could just get away, they'll leave me alone. And they didn't leave him alone. No, they murdered him.
They murdered him, exactly. And I'm just trying to pull up the names of the men.
Remember their names as the scum of the earth.
Yes, absolutely.
And I can say that because I'm not God.
So Travis and Gregory McMichael, that is the father and the son. And then lastly was William Bryan. That was the friend that showed up, didn't even know what was going on and still was a part of this murder. Like, what the hell? Like, his whole thing was like, well, I saw my friends and they were stopping the black guy. And so he thought that the black guy was the problem, which is the issue that even our own police have, is they always blame the black guy first instead of anyone else around. So anyways, why we toasted or cheers to this story, not because a life was lost, because that is never okay, but because the three men that murdered him, as of yesterday, they were sentenced to life in prison. Travis and Gregory McMichael, the father and the son, they are in prison for life without parole, and William Bryan is in prison for life with the possibility of parole in 30 years, I think. Yeah, 30 years. So I think that's good news. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that this was a case that was swept under the rug, and it was very clear that it's not like it was like being covered up, but it was definitely just being swept under the rug until people forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then once people forgot about it, then they just like went on with life. The DA, like, everybody just like went on with their life and completely like was just like, okay, well, that's in the past. We're going to keep it pushing. These are our friends, because I believe the dad was like a former police officer or sheriff or something like that.
Which is
so crazy. Yeah.
Aren't they all?
So, So I wanted to bring that story up because what the fuck? That was such a crazy story. I'm so sad that somebody lost their life.
I just want to say that I'm surprised that there is justice. I'm so surprised. The first time that I saw the news breaking out was when it was on my lunch break yesterday, and I was working out, and you know how they have like the TVs or whatever on the treadmills?
Yeah.
So I was watching the news and I saw it and I was like, oh, wow. Like, I was really, I was surprised that there was justice, for sure.
It is definitely, like, one of those things where we, like, prepare
for the,
like, we hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
But we stopped hoping for the, I will say, I stopped hoping for the best a long time ago, unfortunately.
I agree. Especially given recently with Kyle Rittenhouse and shit like that.
Girl.
But anyway,
speaking of Kyle Rittenhouse, hold on. So I like to stalk random people sometimes. That's just what I do. I don't know why. But anyways, I forgot what photo. There was like some controversy thing going on. I was looking at all of the comments. Oh, it wasn't even controversial. Like, Daily Mail posted a cute little funny video of like a dad carrying his like newborn baby, and he was eating a burger. The dad was eating the burger and he was faking giving the burger to the baby, you know, whatever. Yeah. It was funny. Babies can't have burgers anyways. It was like that young. Anyways, I was going through the comments because I was like, there's got to be some people upset about this because people are always mad at shit.
Of anything.
And so, of course, you have some people who are like, oh, it's so cute, haha, whatever, right. Like me. And then you have others who are like, ah, that's so rude, that's so mean, I don't like this at all, blah, blah, blah. So there's this one lady who is like, I don't like this at all. And so most of the people who I was I clicked on the profiles of those who were against the video. A lot of them were young. So I'm like, okay, makes sense, whatever. But then there was this lady who was so old. Like, she was really freaking old. Just an old lady, right? Some old white lady. And I was just kind of stalking her page because, I don't know, it's just funny. Anyways, and she's, like, married to this pastor. And so I clicked on the pastor's page. I was like, oh, wow, he's definitely a Southern white pastor.
Evangelical.
He's old. He's heavy set, super Southern. He has a bunch of, like, misogynistic dad jokes on his page. I'm like, whatever. And so I just scroll down, and then I see a photo of Kyle Rittenhouse.
Ugh,
I know. And of course it said something like, this man is innocent.
Like, you already know what he's gonna say.
Exactly. Or it said something to the effect of his innocence. And of course he was agreeing with it. And
of course.
Talk about choosing your battles.
It's like, I have a coworker who told me when it happened, he told me that, well, Kyle Rittenhouse, this and that, and he's innocent, and like all this and that. And this was like when it happened.
Yeah.
What was that, last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
so.
I just don't even listen. I'm just like, ugh,
I know. Whatever. That's, I'm like, talk about choosing your battles, because there are people who are ignorant, who just post things or agree with things without fully understanding the bigger picture, or they don't want to understand the bigger picture. And I almost commented, a random person somehow, some way, found this like middle-aged white man's fucking Instagram.
Random.
Yeah, who has like 200 followers. And I almost commented and was like, you're a pastor, you shouldn't be promoting this. And I was like, you know what? Whatever. He's in his small little town. He's in his little world. And you know
what?
In
his own little world. That's really what they're in.
I think with people like that, we should just create a bubble. And well, they are in this bubble, and we should just leave them in that bubble.
I'm telling you, with my coworker who is like very, like, so right-winged, like, like, there's not even a middle for him. Like, he can't even, like, if anything seems like it's, like, left-leaning, like, he can't even, like, hear.
Even
like,
if it's reasonable.
What's going to come out. Yeah, even if it's reasonable. He's just, like, that type of dude or whatever. But you know what? He's proud to be that type of dude. And he used to upset me because we would get into, like, these little debates or whatever at work. So inappropriate. I just got to a point where I was just like, wow, like, literally, there's nothing that I could say because you're not going to listen anyways. And you know what? I'm okay with you just living how you live, because he has nothing to do with my life. You know, like, he does not affect my life in any type of way.
No.
And he doesn't affect the life of anybody I know either.
No.
So if you want to live in that stupid little bubble, live in that stupid little bubble.
Yeah.
The people that I'm upset about with those ways of thinking are like, the big politicians, the decision makers, our police officers, the people that shouldn't have those types of ways of thinking are our lawyers, our attorneys,
people
our judges.
Should not be biased.
Yeah,
at all.
Our Supreme Court, like, you know, stuff like that. Like, you're supposed to have the people's best interest, and you simply do not because of your way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And now you're fucking all these people over because of that. That's where I have the problem.
Yeah.
But my coworker, who I literally only see for whatever throughout the week, every now and then, I don't give a fuck what you think. Get out of my face. Bye.
You, your family, your cousins, your mama, your mammy, your grandmammy, all of them, they can go.
We
and suck
don't
a dick.
Give a fuck.
Suck a dick. Hey, suck your own white dicks. Suck your own
dicks. Those are the guys that do.
Suck your own white dicks. How
those
about
are the
that?
Guys that get a hotel room somewhere.
You guys are already
in fucking Thailand.
Metaphorically sucking each other's dicks anyways. You might as well do it physically and finally get a nut off.
Dude, who
said
it? Was it Angela Rye? I think. No, not Angela Rye. It was. She's a
Love
lawyer.
Her, by the way.
She's on Real Housewives of New York. I cannot remember her name right now. She's a good friend of Charlamagne the God. Oh, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But she said, I remember listening to her podcast, but she was saying that Trump is every mediocre white man's wet dream.
Ah, that's what she said. Absolutely.
I was like, that is so true.
Absolutely.
Every mediocre, like middle-aged, whatever, white man, like they fucking love him.
You know,
no shit. They want to be him.
Exactly.
They want to be him with like the family and the hot wife. And he's like the American, like,
yeah,
he's a white guy that makes good money with a hot wife with like whatever the perfect looking like blonde hair, blue eyed kids.
Yeah.
Like it, that's just like what they want.
The all American family. You know what? It's okay. Have that.
All American.
You can have that. But the thing is, leave us the fuck alone.
Yeah. You don't have to say anything. That's the thing about, once again, my coworker, he says stuff like, oh yeah, well, you know, us like Republicans or us conservatives, like we don't talk about anything. We leave people alone. Like if
untrue.
You don't mess with us, we don't mess with you. I'm like,
so untrue.
This actually, whole conversation and the thing is, I did not ask for.
He brought it up. And you know what's also funny about people like that is that they like to insert themselves. And that's what they don't. And if you're one of those people, I'm sorry, you like to insert yourself.
Exactly.
And that's the problem, is that you insert yourself and then you work people up and be like, well, I was just trying to have a conversation. Like, no, you inserted yourself in a conversation knowing that people will get amped up, especially on important topics.
Yeah, they were
when
hoping
it comes
to have a negative impact.
Human.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I saw something on TikTok really quick. Just want to close that out with this. Saw something on TikTok. There is this trend going around. I believe it stopped abruptly, where there's a Sonic Sega introduction sound that people are, that these kids, specifically non-black kids, so there are some other people of color involved in
POC.
This too. That's a different conversation.
Well, that's why we say we tell the stories of victims of color and black victims, because those
they're
two
separate.
Different things, honey.
It's separate
two things.
Because you guys have different ways of thinking than us as well, but whatever, different conversation. But anywho, these kids, they mouth the words Sega, but it sounds like they're saying the N, or it looks like they're saying the N word. And so of course you have these black kids and, you know, adults are, they're coming on here and be like, okay, you guys know what you're doing.
Exactly.
And then they're like, so you have themselves as the creator and the other white and people of color kids go in the comments, running to the comments saying, oh, you guys are so dramatic. They're clearly saying Sega, blah, blah, blah.
It's
gaslighting.
But
you know what? Exactly. I read a comment that said, you know, it's literally just throwing the rock and hiding your hand.
Exactly.
That's all you guys are doing. Like, and when we say, hey, that's wrong, don't do that, you guys trying to make us sound crazy.
Right.
Making us think, or trying to make us believe that you don't know, that trying to make us believe that we don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. Like, and we're crazy.
And like, no, like,
but we're
really
fucking not.
Exactly. It's insane.
Like,
it's insane.
No, yeah, that's definitely gaslighting. And that's why I no longer like give any time or energy or anything into stuff like that. Because I think with social media, the fucked up thing is like, a lot of, especially I think like the younger generation, they don't care if it's good or bad feedback that they're getting.
It's just feedback.
They
to
honestly
them.
If it's bad feedback, that makes them go more viral, and like they like that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole thing is like, I'm tired of people giving any energy or even commenting or replying to shit like that, because it's like, that's what they want.
You know,
that's exactly what they want. So just leave them alone.
Yep.
Let them have their whatever little 100 views, and then let them sit there by themselves. Leave
and
them alone.
Anytime there's something like a little racist on TikTok, you'll see these kids who are not black be like, oh, here comes the black people. This is gonna piss off the BLMs, and they're gonna come for us or whatever. Like, it's literally a game to them. Like, they
they
love to piss us off. They love for us to react. But it makes sense, because it's kind of in their DNA to do that anyways. So let's not do that. And so let's not, you know,
I didn't even mean to get into this conversation.
It is, you know, it is what it is. And people of color, I'm talking about Asian Americans, Mexican Americans, any other person of color, be fucking responsible too. I haven't forgotten about you guys. I have not. No, I'm so serious, because I see it all the time. I've dealt with it growing up as a mixed black woman. I've dealt with that with racism of people of color as well. Be fucking responsible too.
Yeah.
Because I can't tell you.
Don't act like it's not a thing.
Don't act like it's not a thing, because your family, your grandparents are racist too. I know, because I hear about it from my Mexican friends. and my Latina and Latino friends. And like I hear about it. We know
because of our
grandparents.
Our non-black side. Yeah. Our own grandparents.
We know. And so we are taking the responsibility of the non-black side. And we're righting the wrongs.
Let me not say the non-black side are the non-black grandparents.
Yeah, grandparents. Yeah, yeah. Because our cousins.
Our cousins are dope as fuck.
Yeah. Everyone else. But that's the thing. It's like we all take responsibility. We know what's right. We know what's wrong.
Right.
Anyways, we can just end it off on that note.
Let's get into it.
Okay. This is
okay. Once again, we didn't give our spiel in the beginning in our belligerent.
We did not.
We are Cocktail Murder. I'm Taj. This is Honey.
Hello.
We talk about true crime stories that include victims of color and black victims because those are the stories that are undertold, underreported, underinvestigated. I mean, all of the above. Okay. And this week we got a theme request, which if you guys have been following
please,
us lately.
Yeah, send us theme requests.
Yes, we are now doing themes, and so we want a new theme every week. This theme is killer besties.
Killer besties. I have to say, researching killer besties, I didn't even know which one to pick. Let me just say that. I was like,
there
wow.
are a lot of
there
them.
Are too many killer besties out there,
there
right
really
now.
There really are. There's so many.
And each one, I'm like, no. Yeah. Like, it's so heart-wrenching. It really
and
is.
It's
reading these stories.
Over the weirdest, like, like, we don't know each other's stories or anything. But, like, when I was, like, trying to pick a story, I'm like, it was either over, like, their best friend got engaged, or their best friend is having a baby, or their best friend is this, and they were jealous. Jealousy is one hell of a drug, y'all.
Jealousy is very sickening. If you catch yourself feeling jealous, I know I get jealous sometimes, you got to get a handle on that because it can make you do some unspeakable things from what we see
that
here.
That you cannot come back from.
No, seriously. So that's what we're doing. I am first this week. Let's cheers it in and chug.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Chug. Ooh. The ice is killing my teeth. Ah, ouch.
Ooh. Woo! 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 I gotta go through my body. Okay.
I'm like, I think I have really sensitive teeth.
Yeah. Is that a gum problem?
I don't know. I don't think it's good, though.
Yeah, I heard. That's what I read, because I do the same. Like, my teeth get sensitive too when I touch cold things.
Yeah.
But I think it has something to do with gums.
Got it.
Maybe okay.
I should go to the dentist.
I probably should, but I can't afford dental insurance because America. So I'm hoping for the best. Okay.
Damn.
I have medical insurance for the first time in my life. Okay.
That's why we're relying on Cocktail Murder to take off.
Seriously. Please. Okay. Black podcast effect. The Black Effect.
The Black Effect Pod.
Network.
Yes, network. We're coming for you.
We
I
can
hope
get
y'all
right.
got good benefits.
I know, please. I hope you have benefits in general. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so we're going to take a trip to the Bronx to talk about Ashley Wade and Angelique Sutton. We know that they had always been pretty close friends growing up, but over time they had their own lives and separated, which is pretty normal. Mm-hmm. Like, I have two female friends who I consider very close, and, you know, we're all in different stages in our paths in our lives right now that, you know, sometimes life can get in the way, so we don't keep in contact, but when we do reconnect, it's always a great time. You know,
right.
It's not, it's as if we'd never been separated.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Ashley and Angelique ended up reconnecting on Facebook when they both found out they were pregnant at the same time.
Interesting.
Right? Isn't that
That's
amazing?
Cute. I would love to, like, be pregnant with my best friend.
Right.
Or like with my sisters. Like,
yeah.
If we were pregnant at the same time, and there's three of us, dude, if we were all three pregnant at the same time,
yeah.
That would be nuts.
It would be nuts.
That would be so fun, I think. I think it would be fun.
And I'll just say what we're discussing right now is in my second paragraph, so thanks. Oh. That's my note in the second. It's my filler conversation. So we can, whatever. Just kidding. No, but it would be. Like, I feel like that's every, not maybe not every girl's dream, but like, I would want us to get pregnant around the same time.
I mean, so that, to go through it with someone else.
So the cousins can, you know what I mean, grow up together at the same time. And for sure.
That's cute.
And exactly, to go through it with another person.
Yeah,
like
another
to have,
pregnant person.
Yeah, pregnant buddy. How awesome would that be?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, so at 22 years old, both Ashley and Angelique were pregnant by their long-term boyfriends. Then Angelique got proposed to and was starting to plan a wedding. It's this is where, but it's always a dream to have children around the same time as your close friends and or family members.
OMG.
Okay, so it seemed as though in this case it would totally be exactly what they pictured, but one peculiar detail is that the baby names are the exact same. They were both having a baby girl named Genesis, and they were both about 8.5 months, almost ready to pop in no time.
Wait, did they pick the name together, or they had already named their baby, and it just happened to be the same name?
They had already named their baby. It so happened to be the same name. When they reconnected on Facebook, they were like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
That's wild.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. How of all the names in the world. That's
peculiar.
Crazy.
Peculiar. Okay.
Okay, yeah, let's get into it.
So, Angelique and her fiancé decided to have a courthouse wedding. And I saw a meme that said them courthouse weddings last longer than extravagant weddings.
Okay.
And it's actually quite true. They should do a study on that. Okay, so November 20th, 2015, Ashley tells Angelique she couldn't make it to the wedding because, well, she's due to pop anytime. So I'm sure, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
she had a reason.
Wants to be
she's
home
like, I can't
and,
go,
yeah.
You know, and it's a courthouse wedding. So I'm sure Angelique would have wanted her to be there, but, you know, whatever.
Right. Let me tell you, once if I ever get pregnant, once I'm like 7 months, I'm not leaving the house.
I'm not doing I don't care if I'm 3 weeks pregnant, bitch. I'm not doing shit.
Yeah, as soon as I find out,
I'm not doing nothing. I'm gonna be like,
my husband is doing everything for me.
Make way. Pregnant
feet
lady.
Up, bitch.
Pregnant lady is out. Please move
that
out
part,
of the way.
I don't want to do
I'm
I don't
a freaking soldier. You know what? I would be like, you know, those, what's it called? Martial law, where soldiers can take over your home and stay there. That's how I'm going to act. I'm going to be like, it's martial law. I'm pregnant. Everyone
you
must
do what I say.
Everyone must do for me.
At all times.
At all times. It only makes sense.
Don't even think if you're not thinking about me.
Like, and
how
if you're not thinking
how,
about
how difficult
me,
is that to like,
and if you're not thinking about me, you're cut out of mine and my baby's life.
Hello, that's not too much of an ask, is
that's
it?
A threat.
Jeez, you'll be acting like pregnant women be all
like
hard
no.
to be around. No,
like, no, they're fucking pregnant.
You're supposed to be around me. I'm pregnant. You're supposed to just
do
let it all
me.
Go
you're
and
supposed
do
to
it all for me.
Do everything for me. And if I want a craving, fucking give it to me.
Hello.
Jesus.
Coming from two women who have never been pregnant.
Never been pregnant. We're not pregnant. We're not going to be pregnant anytime soon.
No.
Send us your pregnant stories at cocktailmurder@gmail.com.
Please. We would love to hear that.
Okay. So she actually wanted to give Angelique her wedding gift. So Angelique stopped by Ashley's apartment sometime in the afternoon to pick it up. According to Ashley, gonna drink for this one, guys. Brace
oh,
yourselves.
Lord.
No, eat the ice. According to Ashley, Angelique wasn't too happy when she arrived. Perhaps because Ashley isn't making it to the wedding? Ashley said that an argument ensued and Angelique started to get a little physical. And then it turned into a whole fight. So it was like clash of the pregnant ladies.
That is not a good time to be fighting.
Wild
nobody.
Girl.
Pregnant? What?
What started as a physical fight turned gruesome. Ashley calls her boyfriend around 1 p.m. and said, I prematurely had my baby, but I did something bad.
Oh, no.
When her boyfriend arrived at the apartment, Ashley had the baby wrapped in a blanket in her hand or in her arms, and she was hysterically crying.
She really had the baby.
While Angelique is on the floor with her throat visibly slit, laying in a puddle of blood.
No!
Ashley's boyfriend immediately called the police, sending Angelique and the baby to the emergency room.
Oh my gosh.
And of course, the baby that was in her arms, just to be sure everything was like okay.
Right, yeah.
The baby was prematurely born. Investigators arrived at the bloody scene and couldn't believe what they saw. Not only was Angelique's throat slit, but she had been stabbed 60 times.
60?
And it doesn't end there. And her torso was sliced open.
No.
With her baby removed.
No, that wasn't her baby. She even took the other girl's baby. Oh my gosh.
Ashley was never pregnant.
She wasn't even pregnant.
She was fat. But never pregnant.
Couldn't tell the difference.
No, they could Damn. Not. So Ashley purposely gained weight. She purposely gained
no,
weight.
No, so she like got made herself fat.
Made herself bloated, where everyone around her, including her boyfriend, truly believed that she was pregnant. She also went above and beyond by faking doctor appointments and printed fake ultrasound photos.
What? She's crazy.
Girl,
she's crazy.
Girl. And so there were like her neighbor accounts, like everyone around her, they just knew she was pregnant. They knew
Girl,
it.
Girl, how do you?
They knew she was pregnant. They're like, she gained weight and everything, like her stomach, like everything.
Like it all added up. I wonder if she believed she was pregnant. You know, she had. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we'll get into that, and let's actually discuss it.
Okay.
Because, okay, so Ashley was immediately arrested and taken into custody and questioning.
Yeah, bitch, what the fuck? Immediately take that bitch.
Immediately. Immediately. Get that bitch. Got to.
Sheesh.
She stuck with the story that Angelique attacked her and that the baby was indeed hers. Then eventually she mentioned she had a baby but had a miscarriage. Although there were no medical records and or upon examination of her body, there was no trauma in her womb.
So that show, was a lie.
Girl, but Ashley was arraigned in a psychiatric hospital where she would wait for her jury trial. The jury relived the most gruesome experience for two long weeks with photos of the crime scene blasted on the screen in the courtroom. The crime scene was so bad that they had to halt the trial for a day as a juror literally passed out in her chair after seeing the photos. It was that bad.
Oh my gosh.
That bad. And one of the... So the people in the courtroom, like I was reading their account, they were explaining the juror that passed out. They're going on with court, and I think one of the, either it was like the defendant or the prosecutor or one of the attorneys or whatever kind of looked over and noticed the person just like slumped, like the lady slumped in her chair, and they're like, oh, hold on, like this, we need medical attention immediately.
Right.
That's so crazy. They were that, it was that gruesome, it was that bad. And keep in mind, like at first I'm like, damn, yeah, I can imagine, I guess, being into true crime, right?
Right.
We've seen photos. We've heard it all.
Right, exactly.
So to me, I'm like, oh man, like, yeah, that sucks. It's got to be really bad. Maybe this person was from a small town. No, they're in the Bronx.
So they see shit. Like, you see shit.
They're in the Bronx. They're in a big city.
Yeah.
They're exposed to a lot of things.
Yeah.
So for a person from a overly populated area, an overly stimulated area of all sorts of media, bad and good, to be passed out seeing that, that's like, damn, this has got to be really gruesome.
Very gruesome.
I mean, she was stabbed 60 times.
That's a
throat
lot.
Slit. And then the placenta and everything was out, like everything that encompasses the baby being in her body was outside of her body.
That's crazy.
Woo! During the trial, Ashley kept stating that she truly felt a connection with the baby when she held her in her arms. She felt like the baby was sent for her since she lost a baby already, which was a lie that she just continued to tell.
Like, you were never pregnant, stupid ass. Duh.
Crazy. But she just kept saying, like, I know this was my baby. Like, I have a connection with this baby. So crazy. Just, yeah. However,
like, you didn't want to be the baby's auntie? Like, you were her best friend. Like, you could have been close to the baby. I don't know. Obviously, she's crazy, so you can't, like, rationalize crazy.
You can't. Yeah. No. She's psycho. Mm-hmm. However, she apologized for hurting the Sutton family, but especially hurting and determining the future of Angelique.
Wow.
With that being said, unfortunately, Angelique did not survive. So even during, like, when she was sent to the hospital, she was still, like, technically alive. Yeah, yeah. But of course she did not make it.
Mm-hmm. That's so sad.
It took the jurors 5 hours to deliberate and convict Ashley of second-degree murder, which I don't agree with, second-degree murder, possession of a weapon, and attempt kidnapping.
Second-degree murder?
Right? Ashley was sentenced to a life sentencing and won't even consider a reduction until after 40 years. Hmm. But yeah, second-degree murder. I think they gave her...
Which is like manslaughter, right?
Yeah, but yeah. This wasn't manslaughter.
She killed her. She murdered her.
She reconnected with a friend who was pregnant. She was already faking being pregnant for however many months.
She said her baby's name was Genesis because that baby's name... Okay.
Was named Genesis. Genesis.
Got it. Just...
And she's also 8.5 months pregnant. So this was planned.
Yeah, it was planned.
So mm-hmm. there had to have been a plea bargain.
It kind of sounds like maybe they gave her manslaughter because she wasn't in her right mind.
I think because she's held psycho. held in a psychiatric hospital. Yeah. I couldn't find. I was like searching up like evaluations just to see like, okay, she is determined to be unstable, but yeah. That hasn't been released. This was in 2015, so maybe that's why it hasn't been released. But I can imagine that she's literally mentally unstable.
She's gotta be a little crazy.
Yeah. And for her to continue on saying like, no, I do feel bad. She was saying I really do feel bad, but no, that baby is mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I do truly believe that she believed that.
Definitely has mental health issues.
Yeah.
But once again, even if you believe that this baby is yours and you have a true connection with this baby,
you still planned this
from the beginning.
Yeah.
So you still knew what you were doing was wrong.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you thought this was your baby. No, you knew what you were doing was not okay.
Exactly.
And that's where I can't agree with like the second degree murder. Yep. Like this was murder in cold blood. This was absolutely premeditated.
Completely. Yeah. And then
you knew what you were doing.
And then to invite her to your home. And
right.
Then for you to exactly. I'm sorry, if someone attacks me, I'm not stabbing a person 60 times.
That's a lot.
That's intentional.
60 times is definitely what do they say when people are stabbed that much? What is it called? A lot of times it's like in the heat of passion.
Crime of passion.
Yeah, crime of passion. Because that's a lot of times. That means that she was like in a blind like rage yeah. type shit. Like she just
kept
going.
And you know, she said that when she was going on with the story about Angelique attacking her, she's said that Angelique told her, oh, you think you're all that, you're so full of yourself, and that's why Angelique was upset. Why would Angelique, on her way to her wedding,
yeah, say that,
think anything, yeah, like, on her way to pick up a gift, went out of her way to pick up her gift on her way to the wedding.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Tell my other pregnant friend, who I think is pregnant.
Yeah, who we've been pregnant together, quote unquote.
You think you're full of yourself. When I'm the one getting married, bitch, and you're not getting married, let's be honest.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so she just made up this whole scenario in her head for sure.
Crazy. So, as for baby Genesis, she survived.
No way! Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she is currently so healthy.
Oh.
The cutest little toddler ever. Aww. I was looking at photos of her.
Aww.
And there was no infliction made on Genesis. And of course, her father and her family, the Sutton family, are there to raise who they believe is a life continuation of Angelique.
Oh, that was a tearjerker. That is a tearjerker.
Yeah.
Poor baby doesn't have her mother, but...
Yeah, I want to say the prosecutor or someone on the prosecutor team said, you know, it's great that Genesis is alive. However, you know, her birth date was such a traumatic, sad story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the date. Her birth date is the day that her mother got murdered.
Right.
And she was prematurely taken out of the womb.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't even ready to come out yet.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, a story.
But that is the story of Ashley Wade and Angelique Sutton.
Do you have a picture of them?
Yeah, I do.
I wonder if we're going to try to post it on here when we post on our YouTube. Hopefully
yeah, I'm sure we can. So that's her. Hold on, I can get a better
photo. She's black.
They're both black.
Oh, shit.
They are both black women.
I guess I should have known that. Sutton and Wade. I should have knew that.
Why?
Well, those are black last names.
I know, I'm just messing with you.
It's like, have you ever seen a white Johnson?
No. here's a bitch crying. That's her.
What? Oh, my God.
They're both young. I'm trying to find, here are these two.
In the courtroom with a judge handed down a 40-year sentence.
Oh, so that's her.
But that's the victim.
Oh. Wow.
And then the baby... Baby Genesis Bradley is her name.
Oh.
Come on.
See,
it's not loading. It's not loading.
Why would you think that like this
this is her.
Was the right way to go?
Ugh, it's highlighting. I fucking suck.
That's her. She's adorable.
She's adorable.
She's so freaking cute.
She's healthy. She's, you know.
That's so
look at her. Look at her little dress.
Her little barrettes in her hair.
Yes, look, her sandals. The cutest.
Oh, okay. My gosh, she's adorable. Honey sucks at using her laptop.
My laptop. I just opened like 10 links at the same time.
They're all viruses.
I know. Seriously. All right. Yeah, so that is the story of them.
Wow. All right, today, my story. I got this story from one of our investigators on Instagram. Her name is @WittiaDivine. I hope I am saying that right.
Yeah.
She's the one that also gave us the theme this week of Killer Besties. Mm-hmm. So I am telling the story that she gave because when I looked it up, it was insane. Okay. Mm. This is the story of Jamela Tunstall. Okay, in East St. Louis, Jamela Tunstall and Tiffany Hall, they met in kindergarten. They grew really close, as well as their families did, too, and pretty much became best friends. They were born in the 80s in East St. Louis and faced a plethora of challenges growing up. By 16 years old, Jamela gave birth to her first child. His name was Demond, and by 23, she was a mother of three children, which seems like a lot. At 23 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 28. At 28, having three kids seems like a lot.
I'm 23 and hell no.
That's crazy. That's
there's no way.
Whoa.
There's no way.
She loved being a mother, but she did struggle with motherhood at times. In 2005, she temporarily lost custody of her children after whipping her son with a belt, which is like such a crazy and hot topic, I think, right now. These newer generations, and definitely like I'm a millennial, you're Gen X, we don't necessarily believe in whipping our kids anymore. Mm-hmm. It really teeters on like the line of abuse, even though we got whooped when we were growing older, and it didn't seem
like how we turned out. I'm just kidding.
It didn't seem like we were like, I didn't feel like I was being abused. I felt like I was being disciplined. But then when you think back on it, you're like, damn,
that was
you
shitty.
Are not supposed to be fucking me up with a belt. Like, that's not cool. Like,
I'm fucked up.
You should not be losing your temper with your children that way.
No.
That's crazy.
No.
I remember one time mom was whooping me and she started laughing. I'm like, that's terrible. She was laughing, but she said, she told me, she's like, I'm laughing because you keep hopping around. Like, yeah, I'm hopping around. You're beating me with a belt.
You're whipping me. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
What the hell?
It's natural for me to want to get away from danger.
Hello. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I remember that so vividly. That's probably like the one whooping I really remember. Because I think I remember that day thinking like, this is fucked up. Like, yeah, this isn't
is
cool.
Not straight.
But yeah, I think it's like, it is, it's crazy because again, the older generation, that's just what it was. Yeah. They got whooped. Their parents got whooped. Their parents got whooped. So it was like.
My distinct whipping story was that mom said she loved me afterwards, and like internally I was like, this doesn't feel right, you know. I do remember that. Yeah. I remember thinking, I don't know,
that sounds like an abusive relationship.
Yeah, no,
like that's
does.
What they say to their partners, like, after they beat their ass.
Remember my gut feeling in that moment, and my gut was like, I don't know. I don't think you love me.
That's definitely like one of those generational curses that I think I mean, some people still do believe in whooping their kids, but I think a vast majority of the generations after, like, baby boomers, or what was the last, Gen X?
Yeah, there's baby.
Yeah, you're Gen Z.
Yeah, okay. There's baby boomers, Gen X.
Yeah.
Millennial.
I think, like, millennials on down are starting to just be like, yeah, that's.
We're getting a handle on
this
shit. This is some bullshit.
Yeah. Like, if we could break any generational curse, we're going to break whooping our kids.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? But I do believe in
discipline. For sure.
You know, just let your kids do whatever the fuck they want to do. Okay. So anyway, so she did lose her kids because of that temporarily. She worked really hard to get her kids back by going to parenting classes and showing that she can take care of them by getting a car and an apartment and stuff like that. She was really working hard on making sure she can get her kids back. The charges were dropped against her and she was able to take custody again. And I do want to say the father of the children, he was in the picture. Or at least I think like the old or the younger two children, they had the same father. So I'm only assuming, but I'm assuming that they lived with the dad during that time. Mm. And not with like social services and stuff like that. Mm. She just lost custody of them. Okay. Tiffany Hall, who was her best friend, she was also a teenage mother that struggled with motherhood. She gave birth to two girls. They were 1 year apart. One day she came home with her second daughter who was limp in her arms. Unfortunately, it was determined that her daughter was abused.
No.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. And as a result, she would suffer long-term disabilities.
Oh,
so that is really fucked up. Like that is like, whoa, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Her children were taken away, but after working to get them back, and they basically determined that they were safe, to live with her, they returned to her custody. Are you ready for it to get crazy?
Yeah, that's already crazy. I'm sorry.
Yes.
To return
the
children back.
Seriously.
I don't know.
After that is like, you abused your child so badly that now
she
has long-term disability.
3 weeks of
parenting courses.
Not just parenting courses, of anger management only.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I don't even know what that process is. But it's already hard, especially like once again, they were born and raised in East St. Louis, which is already an obstacle, you know, like living there is already an obstacle. So just I believe that their lives from the beginning were not easy, and having children did not make it easier. Not saying what either of them did was okay. But just
context.
And it's passing down that trauma. You're just passing down that trauma to your children, and that sucks. Okay. In September of 2006, Jamela was 7 months pregnant with her fourth baby. Remember, she's 23 years old. During this time, Tiffany Hall announced that she was pregnant as well to her family. But unfortunately, on September 16th of 2006, Tiffany Hall called 911 and reported that she had given birth to a stillborn baby in her home.
Oh.
The police came and took her to the hospital. Tiffany refused to be examined, but she told them that the reason that she gave birth was because she was raped, which I believe is like a trauma
reaction
thing. To that, which is just so crazy. I couldn't imagine.
Oh, wow.
The doctors examined the baby, and unfortunately, the baby did not make it, but the cause of death was unclear. But they didn't see any trauma or, like, anything, like, wrong. They just couldn't tell, like, they were basically like, well, if she said that she was raped and that's why, you know, she gave birth to the baby so young, then that could have been just, the reason. Yeah. But she did not get examined. 6 days later, Tiffany Hall held a funeral for her stillborn baby. Her boyfriend, who was gone in the Navy, took emergency leave to come and attend the funeral. Tiffany was having a hard time that day, as she called the funeral people, like the people who put it together, just a few minutes before it was supposed to start, and asked that they reschedule the whole service. And she said because there is family that she wanted to come but didn't. They said that they couldn't do that. And so they went ahead with the funeral service, but Tiffany showed up 2 hours late. And yeah, so it was like obviously a hard day for her. But it got even worse, and that day took a turn. Okay, Tiffany confided in her boyfriend that day and told him this wasn't their baby. She told him, she told him that she had removed this baby from her friend's body after killing her. Her boyfriend, who was in a panic and very freaked out, went straight to the police.
Can we thank the boyfriend for being logical?
Yeah. Thank you.
Because even with my story, the boyfriend, he rushed over to the apartment, saw what happened, didn't give a shit about what his girlfriend said, and literally examined the scene and was like, nah.
Something's not right. Something's not right. And I like that, because I think especially too, when it comes to Black people, we have this like, one, don't ask, don't tell type of thing. Mm-hmm. And we also have this like, I don't want to go to the police. This is not my business. I'm staying out of it. You do you
we
over
just
there.
Don't. Yeah, it's like, because we don't want to deal with
it. He easily could have been like, freaked out by it and just been like, you know what, I don't want to deal with this, I'm going this way, and left it alone and never said anything.
And he probably did that afterwards, but at least did the right thing and contacted the police and was like, okay, let me do my part then. And then afterwards I will go to therapy and figure out what the fuck I process what the fuck I just saw and or heard.
Exactly.
So yeah, I commend these men
For saying something, because they again
they could have
just walked away and never talked to them again. Okay, only hours later they found the body of Tiffany's best friend Jamela Tunstall in an overgrown vacant lot to her close to her home. It was determined that Jamela was beaten in the head with a blunt object, which later we find was a table leg, and she died due to blood loss from a huge laceration in her abdomen. Her infant daughter was cut out of her stomach, most likely while she was still alive. That infant daughter was the quote-unquote stillborn daughter that Tiffany brought to the hospital and said was her own. Tiffany was never pregnant. So kind of the same like your story. She was never pregnant to begin with.
Bitches are crazy.
Yeah. Like, it's like really your whole thing is to pretend that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
But steal someone else's baby.
My thing is like, did they really think it through?
Yeah. Like, what did you think that you thought that you were going to steal your best friend's baby and then just live life with that as your child?
And then just tell everyone, no, it's my baby.
Yeah.
No examinations.
Yeah, nothing. Like,
also,
they did not.
Also, my best friend is missing. Don't know why. And my best friend was also reportedly to be pregnant.
Ooh, right.
Wonder what happened to that.
And but I got pregnant. Like, they're going to find the body, like,
they're gonna
most likely.
They're going to find out what happened.
With the baby torn out of their stomach. So
and
you don't
one way or another, they're going to check your medical records.
Hello?
They're going to check you. So they just don't think it through.
No, definitely wasn't thought
this
through.
This is definitely, these are crimes of passion.
Yeah,
sure.
They both have the same thought. Like, I'm going to pretend to be pregnant and then steal my best friend's baby.
Emotionally led. They didn't even think logically about
it. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Okay. Tiffany Hall, just like yours, was immediately brought into custody.
Immediately.
No guess.
As she should.
It was like the same day. It was like the same, like,
oh my
this
God, as she should.
The only missing piece now is, where are Jamela's three children.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
the
okay,
police okay, okay, okay. went straight to the children's father, where they spent half of their time with, and he told the police that on September 18th, Tiffany came to the house and told him that Jamela wanted her to pick up the kids, which was completely normal since they were best friends, and Tiffany often babysat for him, so it wasn't, like, weird that she would go pick the kids up from his house. Like, that's her best yeah. friend. And again, like, these are best friends, but a lot of times they referred to each other as cousins. Like, they were family, yeah. you know?
But I guess even then, I hate to, like, check family members and close friends, but even then, like, if... I don't know. I would want my boyfriend or husband or the father of my child to call me first.
Yeah, the only thing, because I thought about that, because I'm like, well, why wasn't he in contact with Jamela at all during this time?
Yeah.
Because then he would know. And you would think that the mother would of your like, children
hey,
would text
I have
and be like,
so-and-so
yeah,
on
hey,
way
Tiffany's
to pick up
coming
the kids.
On her way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I, you know, we're going to do this.
Right.
Just FYI.
But
you know?
What I was thinking too, as well, and I've seen this a lot before, where like co-parenting doesn't always mean like talking to each other, you know? And I've seen that before. I don't think that is necessarily okay. I think that you should talk to the yeah. mother or the father of your children. I think you should be in contact with them.
About the whereabouts of the
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, especially like, when, you know? When your kids are young too. But I think in this case, it just wasn't like that. It was like, okay, you're supposed to pick the kids up at this time. Okay, come pick the kids up. And then I think it's like, I think them. It was more like, I don't talk to you or probably the kids either until it's time for me to come pick the kids up type shit, you know? So there's no, like, real communication there.
Yeah.
Which, again, is not okay, but I've seen that happen to a lot of people. Co-parenting yeah. does not mean communicating.
Yeah.
Even though it should.
Yeah.
But anyways, but yeah, that's the last time he had seen his kids when Tiffany came to pick them up. Police searched for the children in both Tiffany and Jamela's apartment, but didn't find any signs of them at all. However, they didn't believe that the children were dead, though, so they wanted to make sure they kept looking, and they just needed to be found. In Jamela's apartment, they gathered photos of the children to put out as like a PSA for the public to keep an eye yeah. on them, because they could be anywhere in the city, yeah. basically. And also, like, Jamela's body had, like, kind of just been found, too. So I'm assuming that, like, not everybody knew what was going on. And so they're probably like, well, the kids could be at, like, a grandma's house. You know, they could be anywhere. Yeah. They just don't know yeah. yet. They don't know where the kids are. On September 23rd, Tiffany told authorities where the children were. After picking up the kids from their father's house, she took them back to Jamela's house, who at this time had already been killed. She drugged the 7-year-old, 2-year-old, and 1-year-old kids with cough syrup and one by one drowned them to death in the bathtub. In the same bathtub that she put Jamela in to cut the baby out of her stomach. She then proceeded, oh, this is the hard part, you guys. She then proceeded to stuff the 7-year-old in the dryer and the 2 and the 1-year-old in the washer.
No.
So the police no. went back to the apartment and checked the washer and dryer, and no. the children were in there.
No.
My issue with that is that they searched the apartment previously and the kids were in there when they searched before. The person who was in charge, I can't remember like what his title was. He was asked like, don't you think like it's messed up that they missed the kids the first time they were in the apartment? Because the kids were in there the whole time. And the guy, the whatever, boss, whoever he was like, no, because who would think to check a washer and dryer? But it's not, I get it. Me? Probably not, because I wouldn't think
you
to
just,
do that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think someone would
But
do that.
As someone who that is what your job is to search.
That's a great argument, yeah. Because at first you know? I'm like, yeah, no.
Like, did you search the freezer? You know, if yeah, you search the freezer, yeah. you would probably
Did
search
you thoroughly
the
check.
Yeah,
everything.
So it's yeah. just like one of those things. So I hated that
like,
response
every,
from him.
Like, no possibility is ever ruled out in
right.
an investigation.
Especially
That's
in
true.
Any place yeah. where a child could be, you should check that.
Under the cabinets.
I'm like, I'm looking at these little cabinets.
Yeah,
in front
did they
of
even
us.
Open
like,
up cabinets?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Under
so,
the bed.
So yeah. Yeah, I was reading and they were saying how they like took the kids out and gently placed them in their body bags individually, and I just like imagining it in my head was just so sad. Just oh, these poor babies.
Was there a dog on scene?
I didn't read anything about that.
You know?
Probably not. But they did say the second time they went in, when they opened the door, it smelled like death. So the kids were decomposing in there. And by the time they went back the second time, it was like, okay, yeah, they're in here somewhere. Like, it was pretty clear. But again, Tiffany had told them where she put the kids, so they went straight there. They knew exactly where the kids were the second time.
Oh my goodness. This is nuts.
Right?
This is nuts.
At the trial, Tiffany initially pleaded not guilty.
What?
And a psychiatric examination was ordered.
Bitch, after you done told me everything? Yeah. What? Oh,
they
my
were like,
God.
You gotta be crazy, bitch. Yeah, like, you no, need to...
You
yeah.
need to get examined at this point.
Immediately.
Yeah, you're either a retard or you're crazy.
Well, okay, we're gonna get into that. Okay, oh, no. So she was found... She was found fit to stand trial, but she was found to have had an IQ score of the low 70s.
Oh my God.
Which, like, in the average, I think, is like 90 to like 115
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that.
So
basically, yes, she was dumb. She was like, she was legally, like, mentally retarded.
Mm.
But so basically, her, like, attorneys or whatever, her, she had a public defender. His whole reasoning, like, she can't be, like, she's not fit to stand trial
yeah.
Because of her low IQ and mental retardation. But everyone
bitch.
Was like,
nah, bitch.
No, like, you're not crazy, bitch. You're just dumb.
Yeah,
like,
you're
dumb. So you're not gonna not stand trial because you're stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, duh.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, she was assigned a public defender, but the state announced that she'd be looking at the death penalty. And she was then assigned an actual lawyer that had experience in, like, death penalty cases and stuff like that.
Wow.
Which I didn't know was a thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they could, like, switch it up based on what your sentence is or whatever, or what you're looking at. In 2008, she took a plea deal that eliminated the death penalty. She pleaded guilty to 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of intentional homicide of an unborn child. She was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes. So that is the story of Jemela Tunstall and her best friend, Tiffany Hall.
Oh, my God. I have to see. Is that?
This is Jemela. Doesn't she look so young?
Yeah.
She looks like a baby right here. And these are her 3 children.
Oh.
I know.
So
sad.
Jealousy, man, can make you do one hell of a thing.
I'm like, it's so crazy. Both of our stories were pretty similar in the fact that, like, the best friends, like, for one, pretended to be pregnant.
Yeah.
And then stole their best friend's, but killed their best friend and stole their baby. But yeah. It's just like, how did that drive you there? Like,
exactly.
What the fuck drove you there?
Exactly.
That is more than just jealousy.
No,
like,
it's
that's
not.
Like.
But even then, like, if they're not just jealous of the pregnancy, they want to be their best friend. That had to have derived since they've met that friend.
Had to have, right?
You know
had
what I mean? And then here, like, even with with both stories, you know, you have this young woman who has her 3 children and, you know, she's co-parenting her life. I'm sure she had a great life ahead of her and having an established life at that, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. That's,
yeah, it's just crazy. Just
and then with
so wild.
Exactly. With my story, the victim was getting married and, you know, yeah. So, yeah.
That's like where the jealousy comes from too, because while we do hear about Jemela's children and their father, we don't hear anything about Tiffany's children's father.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? And so that could cause some jealousy too. Like, even if Jemela was having a hard time with motherhood and she had her kids taken away too, and she was a very young mother and she had her own apartment, but it wasn't like in a nice place. Like, she had like affordable like living and stuff
yeah.
like that. And so with her, like, I don't know. It just seems like, dang, was her friend even jealous that she could drop her kids off at their dad's house? You know, like, it's like little things like that, that even if you're not doing that much better,
there's going to be someone next to you who is doing better than you, or you believe they're doing better than
you. Yeah.
But that's like, and that's not even the point. It's not even the point is that you shouldn't even be looking at the next person. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, you should be worried about you and your own children.
And if you're someone
you
said,
have kids.
I heard someone say, I think it was on TikTok, but I heard someone say, like, if you feel a sense of jealousy in another woman, then that's a woman you should take notes from. And then instead of being upset, take notes from her and then take a look at your life and be like, okay, this is what I want to fix. First, fix the jealousy. But it's more so a reflection of what you want to be. And then you reflect and take a look at your life. And then you think, what can I do?
Look at it as inspiration rather than hate.
Then be like, oh, how come she gets to have that and I don't?
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to look at yourself and then figure out what you're doing wrong and fix it.
Crazy, man.
These crazy bitches.
I just couldn't imagine. Yeah. And your best friend.
Your best friend at that you call your sister or
your
whatever.
Cousin, whoever, people that you grew
and you've
up
been
with,
through, you've been through life with. Like, how can you do that?
I'm saying, like, the weird thing is, like, they couldn't find a motive, too. Because their whole thing was, like, well, usually, like, a friend or someone would try to steal the other person's baby because, like, they can't have a baby by themselves. Or maybe they suffered a really bad loss previously or, like, something like that. But both of these girls had kids. I mean, Tiffany had two children already. So you can't really, like, they couldn't pinpoint it to, like, well, she wanted her baby or she couldn't have a baby, so she wanted to steal that baby. Or she was jealous that she was pregnant when she already has children and can obviously get pregnant. Like, she can get pregnant if she has kids.
You know, when I was reading my story, because I thought the same thing, although, like, my person didn't have kids, I thought that maybe the motive was actually wanting a kid by the boyfriend.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking in my story. Maybe it wasn't the whole fiance thing. I'm like, maybe because she had Ashley had her boyfriend, but I think she really wanted
the seed of
her best friend's
but
that's what popped in my head, and that could be the motive.
Yeah,
you know,
it could be
like wanting, I want your kids.
I was thinking about mine. Yeah, that's crazy. I was trying to find the motive too with mine, and what mine could have been is that, and I'm just making up a whole story right now in my head, but her boyfriend was in the Navy, and I want to say maybe she was trying to have a baby with him to keep him, but I do know, I want to say she did suffer a miscarriage at some point, so I feel like maybe, like, she felt like, let me take her baby so that I can keep my man. You know what I mean?
Because,
you know,
a lot of women think
a lot of women think if they have a baby, then he'll keep their man.
That'll make
their relationship better or, like, something like
but
that.
But that's I think that's very logical.
Yeah. I mean, for a boyfriend to, like, be in the Navy, not saying that's, like, the greatest job in the world, but he's got to have some type of, like, stability, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Some type of discipline, like, you know, and he probably
and benefits. And,
yeah,
you
something.
Know.
You know what I mean? And so I'm sure she didn't really want to lose out on that, especially she's a girl from East St. Louis. She was a teen pregnancy. Like, she done found a man with a good job.
Like her ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
That was her ticket.
And if she miscarried with him, now she got to find somebody's baby.
Right.
You know?
Right. Interesting. Very interesting.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
It's getting there. It's getting there. It's getting there. Almost there.
Okay, dude, those were some crazy stories.
No, it was. It was ridiculous. The fact that most of the bestie stories has a lot to do with babies.
Yeah, seriously.
And jealousy. It's insane. It's insane.
I almost did the story of Alexis Crawford. Remember that one where it was like the boyfriend and girlfriend murdered the girlfriend's best friend.
I do remember
together
that one.
Because the boyfriend sexually harassed the best friend, and the best friend like basically called him out on it or told on him or whatever, and then they killed her. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's insane.
That's it's insane. Disgusting.
It is. Gross. It really is
disgusting.
Anywho, this is Cocktail Murder.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining us. Seriously. This is our first official YouTube video for real. Yeah. Well, so I guess we'll see if we can upload it.
Yeah, that's our plan. But either or.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, either or. We'll see you when you see ya, or when we see you and you'll see
us. Thank you guys for joining us again.
Yeah, seriously, send us themes. Thank you guys so much for continuing to send us themes. You can either DM us at Cocktail Murder or email us at cocktailmurder@gmail.com.
Yes, and follow us on TikTok.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We thoroughly enjoy our TikTok crowd. You guys are awesome. We love you guys. It's
Cocktail Murder Pod.
Yeah, some of you guys had been listening to our podcast, including following us on Instagram. So we see you and we appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. The OGs.
Yeah, seriously, honestly. But
Cocktail Murder Pod. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, find our podcast, you guys, on anywhere you get podcasts. I mean, if you're listening to us, obviously you know where to find us, but a lot of people have been asking us, especially on our social media platforms, like, where do we find your podcast? It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We're everywhere. Anywhere you get podcasts, and you just type in Cocktail Murder and we'll pop up.
Yep, exactly.
That's how you find us.
But until then, we can cheers it out to the next murder.
Yeah.
Cheers. Clink, clink, clink.
Dumbass. IQ of 70, bro.
69.